Well, good morning, family, those near and far, our friends, and those that watch and listen to our service. Welcome on this January the 10th. Oh, I wish it was June. January the 10th, 2021. And trust you're having a blessed week. Again, stay warm and stay cozy. These are beautiful sunny days. Get out for a walk or feel free to call friends and chat over the phone. No announcements with regard to the church. We're just continuing through the lockdown cycle. We have a birthday. We want to wish Richard a very happy birthday for January the 13th on Wednesday. And so to you, Richard, a very happy birthday. And if there's others that are having a birthday or an anniversary, we want to wish you the very best as well. I want to go over the notes of prayer and praise for this upcoming week. First of all, for prayer, we heard from Vi, the building that she is in has had an outbreak of COVID, and so she cannot get out and family cannot see her. So we need to pray for her. And also, Sue and Gord have friends whose daughter died quite suddenly from a heart attack. So we want to remember Sue and Gord as they minister to their friends. Also was talking with Paul this week, and he has started his chemotherapy. He is upbeat. And yet this is a serious time for he and Sue, so we want to pray for them as well. And notes of praise, those that have been able to enjoy everything on the internet and video, I'm glad you're receiving that and trust that everything is blessing you. We heard from Ingeborg, of course, in Peterborough, and we want to wish her the Lord's blessing as she continues to deal with things. And so as all things continue, that you're feeling strong, and the unspoken requests we will also pray for today. So let's open with prayer together. Father, thank you for another opportunity to be together via video or through Proclaim. And we pray, Lord, that you're with each and every one in a very personal and special way, that everyone sense your presence today. And Lord, for the notes of praise, we thank you for how you're working in different people's lives. And for those, Lord, that are going through stressful times and times of hardship, that, Father, you'd be very near to them. And, Lord, they'd sense your loving care in their lives. And Father, for all the unspoken requests, we're trying to live in the midst of a critical time, a lot of stress for people, a lot of concern, and a lot of isolation. And so, Lord, continue to be very near to all of us and show us where we can be creative, if it's going for a walk or giving a phone call or going on Facebook or whatever you lead us to do, that we might have interaction with one another. And most of all, that you continue to keep our prayer life strong in our relationship with you. And so thank you now for all that you're doing and that you will be doing in this new week as we head into it with you. And we thank you now in Christ's name. Amen. Family, this morning I want to speak to you on God's intention being for our good. And this week I have been fascinated in reading the conversations that are recorded between Moses and God. And of course, the first one was the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. And so in following up on that, I began to realize the tremendous summation that Moses gives in the book of Deuteronomy concerning his talks with the Lord and the things the Lord said to him with regard to the people and what he needed to convey to them. And so when you get a chance this week, take a look at the book of Deuteronomy, and you will see an incredible story of Moses sharing of these experiences that he had talking with God. And what's fascinating is that he's taking this 40-year period of time from when they left Exodus, and he's telling this new generation of who this God is and how much he loves them. And that in that, he's asking them, love God back. And so one of the fascinating things that I read is in Deuteronomy chapter 10. I want to read this to you, because sometimes when we think of the Ten Commandments and some of the times when Moses was up like for a month up on the mountain talking with God, we think he came back with these huge concrete slabs of instructions. But you might find this fascinating. At that time, in Deuteronomy 10, verses 1 to 5, the Lord said to me, cut for yourself two tablets of stone like the first, and come up to me on the mountain and make an ark of wood. And I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets that you broke, and you shall put them in the ark. So I made an ark of acacia wood and cut two tablets of stone like the first and went up the mountain with the two tablets in my hand. And God wrote on the tablets and in the same writing as before the Ten Commandments that the Lord had spoken to you on the mountain out of the midst of the fire on the day of assembly, and the Lord gave them to me. Then I turned and took them down the mountain and put the tablets in the ark that I had made, and there they are as the Lord commanded me. And of course, the people in the day would see the ark. And then he goes on to say, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but that you fear the Lord your God, that you walk in all his ways, you love him and you serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens and the earth and all that is in it." And then he goes on to say, "You shall fear the Lord your God, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him, and by his name you shall swear." And then in chapter 11, Moses goes on to say, "For your eyes did see all the great work of the Lord that he did. You shall therefore keep the whole commandment that I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and take possession of the land that you are going over to possess, and that you may live long in the land of the Lord, that the Lord swore to your fathers to give to them and to their offspring, a land what? Flowing with milk and honey. For the land that you are entering to take possession of is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and irrigated it, like a garden of vegetables. But the land that you are going over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water by the rain from heaven, a land that the Lord your God cares for." Now listen to this line. "For the eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then he will give the rain for your land in that season, the early rain and the later rain, that you may gather in your grain and your wine and your oil. And he will give grass in your fields for your livestock, and you shall eat and be full. Take care lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them." You know, family, much of what Moses was saying to the Israelites so many years ago is incredibly relevant even to today. The idea that the Lord is aware of where we are going, that he leads us, that he cares for us, that he sends the rain and nurtures the land, and he's caring from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And then he asks us to obey him, keep his commandments, and trust him, and not serve other gods, not follow after other gods and worship them. And so I want to bring it together today in a very real way. Have we not been exceedingly blessed by the great King, Jesus Christ, who's cleansed us from our sins and nurtured us daily? That's the great reality we have that Moses didn't have. We have a Savior, Jesus Christ. And from last week, you'll remember what Dr. Lockridge was saying about Jesus, our King. And so I want to remind you as we head into this new year of what Jesus himself said about our relationship to him. In John 15, it's recorded these words. Jesus said, "You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And by this my Father is glorified," John 15:8, "that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." And so we have this great King, Jesus Christ. We have a heavenly Father who we are seeking to glorify and honor. And then Jesus says, "And all of these things I've said to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." And furthermore, he says, "You also have the Holy Spirit. I am sending the Comforter, the Helper, the person who is going to be in you." And John records these words of Jesus, "Nevertheless, I tell you a truth. It is to your advantage that I'm going away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, But whatever he hears, he will speak. He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And so, family, this is more than just coming into a promised land that you and I have. The blessings we have are from a triune God, a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit. And God's instructions are not simply on tablets of stone or wood. They are very clear about a relationship that you and I have with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what's interesting is Jesus didn't mince words. He didn't say and everything would be hunky-dory and everything would be fine and there'd be no more issues and everything would be lovely. He said, I have told you these things, John 16:33, so that in me you may have peace. Because in the world you will have what? The Greek says, tribulation, distress, suffering, trials, sickness. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And so as we head into this new year, do not be overwhelmed. Despite the fact that information is flooding at us from every direction, the reality of man and the decisions men and women are making sometimes are so confusing and so can be sometimes so confrontational, or just there seems to be no logic in much of what is going on. But the reality for you and I is that there is a life to come beyond this life. We are seen far beyond this temporary residence that we call Earth. And so I think we need to incorporate in our own thinking as we head into this new year what Jesus himself prayed after he said all these words in John. And this is what we need to keep very clearly in our own minds. Because Jesus, when he had spoken these words, John 17, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you've given him authority over all flesh to give what? Eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. The hour has come. The plan is in effect. God is doing what he's doing. Jesus is doing what he's doing. And as we know, Jesus went to the cross. There was a crucifixion. There was a death. There was a resurrection. And there was an ascension. And in all of that, the Father was glorified. And the things that Jesus was supposed to do, he did. And then Paul sums it up so much in Hebrews 1 and verse 3. Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And after making purifications for our sin, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Fantastic, fantastic. And so as you and I move into this new year, what does God have for you and I? What's his plan for our lives? Well, I think the first thing is what came in Hebrews chapter 2. When Paul wrote Hebrews, he knew something incredible, and that is he knew how men thought. Because he said, we must therefore pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we what? Lest we drift away from it. We kind of forget the facts. We kind of take our faith for granted and minimize the reality, or we let the voices of this world get so loud that they choke out the still small voice of God. And so he goes on in the next chapter to say, therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and the high priest of our confession. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Paul's saying, even in his day, issues of life were hitting people in a very difficult manner. And he's saying, hold fast. Keep your focus. Don't drift away from this great reality. This is not about keeping your eyes on a land or keeping your eyes just on a provider of who will reign. This is about Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And so here's the practical aspect. If you want to know what to do and how to think as you move into 2021, I propose these verses from Hebrews 10, these five verses, starting in verse 21. Since we then have a great high priest over the house of God, who is it? Jesus. Let us what? Draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, So literally, we're drawing near to him spiritually because he wants to have a continual relationship with us. Our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Again, we're looking at how we think. Whatsoever things are lovely, good report. And our bodies washed with pure water. It was fascinating this week. I assisted in a baptismal service. A gentleman here in our town has been reading his Bible, and he and I have talked quite a bit over the last couple of years, and another retired pastor has been chatting with him as well, and he contacted me this past month, and he said, I want to be baptized by full immersion. Well, you can imagine a bit of the dilemma with everything closed down, but we were able to find a church in Stainer, and they opened up their church for him, and so there were about six of us, and he was baptized and in full immersion, and he came up so excited in this new faith that he has had in Jesus Christ. And literally, I saw the whole concept of our bodies washed with pure water again brought out into the fore even this week. And so let us hold fast the confession of our hope without what? Without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Where do we waver? We waver in our minds. And so let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. So again, we're focused on who Jesus is, but now we're focused again on the horizontal of how we help one another, not neglecting to meet together. Well, that's kind of hard to do, but we're meeting together even by Zoom or by media today through YouTube. As is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see what? The day drawing nearer. I think that day of the Lord's return is drawing much nearer, and I think all of us are coming to the conclusion that the Lord is preparing to return. And so Paul ends with these words, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of what? Endurance. This is a time for endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. And what is that? Into eternity. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. And so I want to end this portion this morning with Peter's words, because in light of what Paul said to the Hebrews, I think Peter's words are so profound in 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are where? On the righteous, on you and I. His ears are open to whose prayer? Your prayer, my prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And so I want you to see as we conclude this morning, the eyes of the Lord are what? Upon people. More than what Moses was proclaiming in the Old Testament, his eyes were on the land that the people were to inherit. Now what we're seeing is because of Jesus Christ, the Lord has his eyes on you and I constantly. And again, I think we can take that word from Deuteronomy. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And we are worth so much more than just physical land. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to sing a little song for you, very familiar as we conclude this morning. It says the following, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back. And so, Father, we head into a new week. We have a great sense of expectancy because you're going to be leading us. And, Lord, these days are busy days, and yet in many ways they're very strange days. And so we believe that your eyes are upon us. Your eyes are aware of all that we do. Your ears hear our prayers. And you lead us as an amazing Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so as we head into this week, We thank you that you're looking after us from the beginning of the year to the end, and that you're going to instruct us, and that you've given us practical things to do. And most of all, that we maintain a relationship with you that's unswerving and unwavering. And really, if you be for us, who can be against us? And nothing then shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So, Father, may people this week move in strength and in the power of your might and through the truth that's given through the Holy Spirit. And may every one of us be blessed in powerful ways. In your name we pray. Amen.